Good evening. I will now call this House Ways and Means Committee meeting to order. Today is February 8th, 2023. Let the record reflect that it is 6:01 p.m. We are in the Davis Room 106 of the State Capitol in Juneau. Today we have present Speaker Kathy Tilton, Representative Tom McKay, Representative Kevin McCabe, Representative Jamie Allard, Representative Cliff Groh, and myself, Chair Ben Carpenter. I'll also let the record reflect that we have Representative Mike Kronk in the audience with us. Thank you for joining us tonight. Okay, for the members of the committee and the audience, please remember to silence your cell phones so we don't have any embarrassing rings. Staff assisting us tonight will be Lori Rowland and Suniva St. Clair with House Records. Thank you, ladies, for being here. And Zachary Lawhorn with the LIO. Thank you for being here. My staff, Kendra Broussard, will be the legislative aide or committee aide. We have one item on tonight's agenda. I've asked my staff to prepare a presentation on the scope of our Ways and Means Committee discussions and organize the how we're going to organize the policy discussions that we'll be reviewing over the next 6 to 8 weeks. I'd like to invite Donna Ardoin to come up and present some information to us. Can you please put your name on the record and begin?
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, Donna Ardoin, staff to Representative Carpenter. This presentation was put together at the chairman's request. Staff put this together to outline the scope of what this committee might be doing over the next 6 to 8 weeks and outline the foundation for coming up with a long-term fiscal and economic plan. So as you know, it's a special committee, Ways and Means, and you've been charged with hearing bills and reviewing processes to protect the economic resources of the state. We believe that means that you will have bills in front of you, but also that you may be discussing issues that have a broad context for a long-term fiscal and economic plan that are going on in this building. So there may be things that are being discussed in other committees that you all will want to discuss, even if you have a bill or don't have a bill in front of you. You are created by House Resolution 3. Just at the bottom, you can see that it says, consider methods to control state spending. Identify ways in which state government programs may be made more efficient and propose new measures to raise additional revenue. To the chairman, that means, what are we going to do about Alaska's fiscal problem? And he sees several prongs to the solution for that. Breaking them down, first we have lack of a long-term fiscal policy, something that has been discussed in the building, as we talked about during this meeting a couple weeks ago with the long-term fiscal policy working group members. Long-term fiscal policy usually includes sustainable spending policy, dependable dividend structure, a revenue plan. With the chairman's words, a revenue plan predicated upon private sector growth rather than short-term budget needs. But we also recognize that we have an undersized private economy in Alaska, and we think that the Ways and Means Committee should concentrate on that as well for a long-term fiscal and economic solution. In addition, lack of accountability and good governance solutions is something that's important, we believe, to all of you, and in particular the Speaker of the House. So in 2021, you had the Fiscal Policy Working Group. Members of the group presented their final report here, and I think unanimously said they thought it was still relevant. Those go, again, to the solutions that are the issues that are in blue here, which is lack of a long-term fiscal policy. So in addition to talking about the PFD and revenues, and a spending, potentially a spending cap, we also wanted to add that under long-term sustainable spending policy would be efficiencies in spending. And those may be things that you all will, that will come up outside or inside of the Finance Committee, but also ways that you can structure a long-term ability to make government more efficient than just looking within the one-year annual budget process. We believe part of the long-term fiscal and economic policy includes improving the undersized private economy that you have in the state. So Chairman wants to look to solutions that will grow the economy. So when we hear revenue growth, I believe that what the chairman wants you to focus on is not just revenue growth for government, but revenue growth for people of Alaska, so businesses and private citizens. And you want to look at how can you potentially reduce the tax and regulatory burdens that may inhibit businesses' investment in Alaska. And by the way, any reduction in a PFD is considered a tax and a drag on the economy. Finally, you want to look at lack of accountability and good governance solutions in the state. And these are just some, as we said, more structural issues to bring about efficiencies in government. So, you know, do we want to continue to have performance reviews? Look at the Executive Budget Act, and are the performance measures there being utilized? Are the recommendations of performance reviews being utilized? Do you want to have or need to have internal auditors? And then finally, should we add more legislative oversight on things like regulatory decisions, things like an agency comes before other committees and they haven't solved a problem and you're trying to figure out why. So you want to have some more legislative oversight. So those are things that we think fall within the scope of the Ways and Means Committee. So, Mr. Chairman, I think you believe you summarized that all of the bills or review processes that are going to come under the committee are going to fall into sort of six major groups. So, first of all, settle the PFD. Look at a spending cap for the state. Let's talk about efficient spending policies. And again, those may be discussions that are going on in other committees with other bills like, you know, we're looking at the defined benefits plans for employees that may have a long-term effect on your fiscal policies. How can we grow the economy? What are those accountability and good governance solutions that you want to look at for structural reform? And then finally, revenue generation for government. Again, for example, the governor's carbon bills, which you may or may not have in front of you, but something that should be discussed as revenue generation. So why? Why include the economy and why look at all of these policies? I think you all have seen report cards on Alaska, and none of them are particularly great, but I'm just going to flip through these for you again. Alaska has an economic problem, you know, 50th worst in GDP growth, that means the worst in the country, second worst in unemployment, education quality, you know, first, second, or third worst, depending on the year. Interstate migration, 34th worst, that means people are leaving Alaska to go to other states, and because you have such a reliance on federal dollars. This, again, is just your GDP chart. Over 10 years, you've had the worst growth in the nation. Second worst employment growth. People are leaving Alaska for other states. This is state population change. It shows where people are moving from, where people are moving to, and that's by population. A side note is that people are leaving high-tax states to go to low-tax states. The 15 lowest tax states gained 2.2 million people over the last 2 years, and the 15 highest tax states have lost 1.2 million people. Another report card, the Fraser Institute puts together a report card that it calls the Economic Freedom Index. They use a composite of spending, government spending, taxes, and regulations to come up with their composite. clearly you can see that they consider Alaska one of the least free states in the nation.
And pause here for just a second, Donna. I have a question from Representative Allard.
Thank you, through the chair. Mr. Ardwin, can you give me an example of the least free in reference to economic freedom?
Through the chair, Representative Allard, you mean an example of which states, or the red states are the least free according to the Fraser Institute. The criteria upon which they put together their freedom index includes government spending, taxes, and regulation.
So that's what you mean by the least free?
Yeah.
Thank you, Chair.
Economic freedom.
Yes. Thank you.
Sorry.
And now Representative McCabe has a question.
Thanks, Ms. Ardwin. Can we back up a couple slides to this? People are leaving Alaska for other states, as long as we pause for a question. You said people are leaving the highest tech, T-E-C-H, or tax?
Through the chair, Representative McCabe. I meant to say tax.
Tax. Thank you.
A little bit of cold in the voice.
Yeah, no worries.
But thank you. It's a great question, Representative, through the chair. So the 15 states with the highest tax burden in the nation are losing populations to the 15 states with the lowest tax burden in the nation.
Follow up.
Representative McCabe.
So would that indicate to you that people are leaving Alaska because they figure that the tax that we're paying, even though we're not paying an income tax, but whether it be tax from the PFD removal or whatever is part of the reason that they're leaving? If you will, or do you think it's more to do with this economic, the total economic freedom idea?
Through the chair, Representative McCabe, I would say it would be all of the above. People make decisions to move, and they're very mobile these days because of opportunities, job opportunities. It used to be that a state like California, which had great weather, could draw people because of the weather. That's no longer the case. The case is that they're voting with their pocketbooks, they're voting with their feet, and they're going to move to states where there are opportunities, jobs, and opportunities. And so the point of the presentation today is to say all of these things could be improved. If they're improved, you might not end up with a result where people are leaving for other states.
Thanks.
Representative Groh, you have a question?
Yes. I do want to ask that your map on the economic freedom in America, I don't see a page number, but it's there it is. You brought it up. You'll note that one of the least free states is Virginia, and one of the most free is West Virginia. The life expectancy in Virginia is way more than in Virginia, so much so that it's been said that going from one county, Northern Virginia, to Southern West Virginia, a drive of a few hours, it's like going from Sweden to Iraq. I guess my point would be, does this economic freedom in America completely map to what you think are the most desirable states to live in terms of indicators like life expectancy?
Through the chair, Representative Groh. So we did not put this index together. It was the Fraser Institute in Canada that put this together, and based on data that they determine is adds up to economic freedom. So the folks in West Virginia would probably disagree with the characterization. West Virginia has been going through some policy resurgence where they're giving opportunity scholarships to educational scholarships to all of their students so they can have the education that their parents determine that they need. For example, they're cutting their income tax rates, trying to eliminate them. So the policies in the state of West Virginia are leading to more economic freedom and will eventually draw folks there.
I think I will interject at this point that I did not ask my staff to look at the life expectancies comparatively between states, but if the committee thinks that that is necessary, then we can do that. Ms. Ardwin, can you continue, please?
So again, on economic performance, we consider your educational performance part of the economic performance of the state. So fourth grade reading scores, fourth grade math, eighth grade reading, eighth grade math scores are important to your fiscal report card, your economic report card. And, of course, we know that Alaska has been lagging for quite some time. Crime is also important. Crime, Alaska still has a high crime rate per 1,000 people. To drill down a little bit, and this comes from FBI statistics, number of crimes, in particular violent crimes, are high. This is a little graph of Alaska's violent crime rate per 1,000 residents. And so that gold bar significantly exceeds the national median, which is the dotted line. In addition to having an economic scorecard with failing grades, Alaska has a policy problem, which is why we are going to bring up all of those issues as possibilities for the Ways and Means Committee. So your spending per capita is 50th highest in the country. Debt per capita as a state, 43 highest. You have a corporate income tax is 45th highest. Welfare dependency, you're the 10th most dependent state. Union control, both in government and outside of government, 13th most union control. And then educational choice. 28 states have more options than does Alaska.
Maybe we can pause for a question here, Representative Allen.
Thank you. And through the chair, did you, is this also from the Fraser Institute, the slide you just went over? What are your sources on that?
The sources, well, I'm going to go through them if you wouldn't mind. They come from the Kaiser Family Foundation, the American Legislative Exchange Council, the Tax Foundation, ALEC again, state financial statements, and education choice would be the Ed Choice group.
Thank you. That's good.
Yeah. Spending per capita, this is the Kaiser Family Foundation. They rank all of the states. We just picked out a couple for purposes of this presentation to show you Alaska compared to, first of all, a bellwether state, which is Florida. Florida is a high-performing state, but spends significantly less than Alaska. We also use some more similarly situated states like Louisiana, Montana, South Dakota, Wyoming, and you can still see that Alaska's spending per capita on government greatly exceeds those other states.
I have one question here. Representative Groh.
I take it this does not analyze what county spending or local government spending is in those states, whereas Alaska has functions like jails, prosecution, many airports, a lot of other things that are run by the state that are done by either local governments or, I guess in the case of airports, perhaps private sector. Wouldn't that make that pretty misleading, this graphic?
Through the chair, Representative Groh, this is per capita state spending, so it's not misleading. It's giving you a data statistic. We can show you a similar chart with state and local spending, and you're still very high.
I guess that's the thing. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
But we'll get that to you.
Please continue.
This next slide is from the presentation that the Alaska Department of Labor economist Dan Robinson made, I believe, last week. And again, it shows that over where Alaska exceeds other states, I'm trying to draw a line here, includes state and local government, to your point, Representative Groh, and then, of course, is lagging in some of those industries that make a private economy strong.
And one question from Representative Allard.
Thank you. Through the chair, I see that it says educational services, healthcare, and social assistance is right on par with the rest of the U.S. Can you speak on that just a little bit? I mean, we did see a slide where we're amongst the worst. can you explain that a little bit to me?
Through the chairman, Representative Allard, this is a slide from Dan Robinson, an economist for Alaska Department of Labor. This is the amount of employment relative to the total employment in the state that's distributed amongst those industries. So that's really one of the only places in the middle there where you can see that Alaska's relative employment in those industries is similar to other states.
And may I do a follow-up, please?
Yeah.
You may have a follow-up.
Thank you. That's even with our per capita, with our low population?
Through the chair, Representative Allard. It's relative to the size of the total employment. So as a percentage of your employment in Alaska, you have roughly the same percentage as other states do in that industry. Where you exceed your employment as a percentage of your total employed, in other words, industries where you lean more heavily than others relative to other states include state and local government. Where you're lagging is in manufacturing and professional and business services, finance and real estate.
Thank you.
Please continue.
Another policy report card is what you're spending on public elementary and secondary schools. And you can see by the color of Alaska that the 2019 spending for public and elementary and secondary schools, in other words, K through 12 education, is significantly high compared to most of the country.
Please let the record reflect that Representative Gray has joined us at 6:22. Please continue.
States with school choice options. This is again from Ed Source, Representative Allard's question. The number of states that have more choices than Alaska is a larger number than the states who have less. I believe that there are 28 states with more options. Another piece of your policy profile, corporate income tax states, they're very high. So we highlighted here, Alaska has the fourth highest corporate income tax rate in the nation and a very graduated tax. You're also high in debt, your debt profile of your report card. Your 48th highest in bonded obligations of all the states. Your 50th highest in unfunded pension liabilities per capita of all the states. This is another way to show how well funded your pension plans are as a percentage, assets as a percentage of liabilities. When this was done in 2019, you were under 70%. States have had gains and the stock market, which once they get marked to market today, some of them may fall off. Welfare dependency in Alaska is scored as the 10th worst by the American Legislative Exchange Council. Your dependency on union control, which is considered a policy input that correlates with economic outcomes, is also high. Both your private sector union dependency, which is indicated by this graph, which being one of the states that's not a right-to-work state in the country. Also in terms of the private sector, Alaska's public sector employees per 1,000 population, so your percentage of state employees, government employees per population, you're 48th highest. So back to the beginning then, that was a why. Why are we doing all this? And these are those things that the Ways and Means is going to be taking up either through the policy reviews and or in some cases having bills in front of you.
Let me pause here for just a second. I would like to interject. In the past, some committees have brought forward committee bills or the bills that are assigned to the committee are specific to what the chair or the committee wants to see accomplished, meaning you don't have a lot of bills to run through. You just put forward what it is that you think you want. And I am decidedly taking a different tact on this in keeping with the fiscal policy working group concept that we're a divided legislature. We're a body here, a committee here that's representative of two different caucuses, different philosophies, and these areas are where we need to find some agreement to help bring about some fiscal stability for the state. So to that end, I see multiple bills in each one of these areas, because a bill is the action of the legislature. We can have opinions, we can show data, but the only way we affect policy change is through bills. So multiple bills in these areas is okay. It's what we want. We want to have multiple options and have conversations and find the best way forward collectively. So to that end, I'm asking for your help. I'm asking for the legislature's help. If there are ideas that people have, then let's put them into these categories and have the conversation and move forward in the best way that we can find possible. Please continue.
So, Mr. Chairman, the proposal then for the calendar for the Ways and Means Committee for the next 6 to 8 weeks is to have presentations and to hear bills on these topics to bring together options for the group for an overall long-term fiscal and economic plan. We've added that we're looking at having Saturday meetings as needed to receive public testimony and to amend and vote on bills as needed in order to maximize public testimony, public input, and transparency for the committee. And then finally, as you all deliberate on these projects, one of your early meetings, you had Director Painter, Legislative Finance Director Painter, come in and present a spreadsheet to you that encapsulated the fiscal policy working group's work. As you move through and make decisions or present options on things like the PFD and spending caps and some spending efficiencies and so forth, we're going to ask Director Painter to update those sheets and then bring together your options more honed in based on those things that you've deliberated here. That's that.
I would like to pause for a second here and ask the committee members if they have any questions on the plan or the path forward here, or comments or recommendations. Representative Groh.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I have two thoughts come to mind. One is that, and I want to thank again your work, Mr. Chair, and that of Mr. McCabe and other legislators, and now some former legislators, who helped put together and produce the Fiscal Policy Working Group report. I've talked to several members of that group, and what they said was really valuable was actually people building their own budgets. And, you know, working with, and there was a lot of work with Director Painter to make that happen. And I'm wondering if that makes sense in this context for us. That would be my first question, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Representative Groh, if you are asking a question as to whether we individually are going to build our own plans or whether we as a committee are going to build a plan together, I would say both of those options are available to us.
And thank you, Mr. Just to follow up. So what I would say is, and several members suggested, and some other legislators who observed the process said that was one of the most valuable things that occurred because it tended to lower the level of rhetoric and increase the level of sort of on the ground engagement, right? You know, the actual building of what it was, as opposed to, you know, people making statements, which we've heard a lot of obviously here in Alaska over the decades about this. So I commend that and urge that, and I'm certainly, you know, volunteering my own willingness to do that. The second question is, I wonder whether, just briefly, since you're talking about the Fiscal Policy Working Group, it's worthwhile to review what they said, and it included that list that you had, as well as, for example, also putting a constitutional single account structure for the percent of market value system to help further protect the permanent fund. That was another important recommendation, as you well know, of course, Mr. Chair, that this group made, as I said, including some of the members, you know, sitting here today as part of this committee. And so I look forward to working with committee members and other legislators to help, as you suggest, advance bills to make progress on these goals. And thanks a lot.
So to your question, Representative Groh, about the fiscal policy working group recommendations, bringing them forward again, the one downside, if there was one, to the fiscal policy working group is that it didn't have any bills come out of it. There were no specific action items that the legislature could act upon. I want that to be different for the Ways and Means Committee. I want us to focus on it's a new group of people, right? We've already had a conversation about the fiscal policy working group. The recommendations are out there. On your own time, you can use those to help shape the policies that we're going to have a conversation about. But I want to focus on having bills and action items that we discuss moving forward. And I'm hoping that we use the fiscal policy working group as a loose construct of what's politically possible within the building.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Representative McCabe.
So thanks, Mr. Chair. So to Representative Groh's point, we didn't really build budgets. The budget itself was sort of set. What we did was make adjustments in certain aspects of the budget based on that spreadsheet that Director Painter gave us. And we could play with that all day long. He's already given it to us. We can fiddle with that all day long. We did that, and that's what was most valuable to us, is to see, well, when you did a PFD this way, what does it make at the end of the day? And I asked Director Painter to put some other stuff in there. I don't know if he's working on it, such as the if you adjust the base student allocation, or if we have a defined benefits, if those were in there and you could adjust them and people could actually see what it did at the end result, that was the most valuable part. And I probably went through, 20 different iterations of that. And as I said earlier, in an earlier meeting, even to the point we're going in and changing the formula on how much the CBR makes, or the SBR, I can't remember which one it was, whatever, how much does it make? And it's limited by statutes to like 2% or something. So there's ways to look at that and to change that were very valuable. But to suggest that every one of us was going to build a whole budget, we never really did that, I don't think. So
to that point, and I don't know that I really need to restate this, but the product that Mr. Painter brought forward in relation to the fiscal policy working group was an idea product. So as we discussed things, we put these ideas forward to see how they would fit and relate to one another. The same thing is what I hope that we are going to do in this committee, but with concrete things that we can act upon. So to a certain extent, it would be premature to start adding things to the document, because we don't actually have the bills before us that it's kind of a self-discipline thing, right? Let's make sure that the bills that are actually before the committee and the things that we're talking about are the things that we're modeling to help us stay focused on what the actual outcome is that we want to achieve. So any other questions, comments? Okay. Well, I'll wrap the meeting up today by saying that I truly believe that everybody that's sitting here in this committee understands that Alaska needs a path forward for a long-term economic and fiscal plan. And you all agreed to be on the committee and wanted to be here. And I believe that that's what our goal is. So to come up with a detailed plan that we can present to the legislature, not just for our government, for what makes sense for economic growth within the state, providing good job opportunities, not just adequate education, but phenomenal school options, and a budget that balances every year. Those things are challenging. There's many paths that we could take, because as we see, there's six different categories and there's going to be multiple options. So there's lots of different paths. But as we found out in the fiscal policy working group, by working together, we can find a recommendation for the legislature. And I don't buy into the notion that this problem is too big and this legislature is unable to address the change that's needed. It's going to take more than the efforts and negotiations and the legislators who were in the working group It's going to take us in this body today, in this legislature, who are going to be willing to have those similar conversations and put Alaska first. It's going to take vision and leadership from all of us. So to that extent, I call on this committee, these members, to help make that possible. So this concludes our business for today. Next Wednesday, we plan on hearing a presentation by Jonathan Williams, the Chief Economist and Executive Vice President of Policy at the American Legislative Exchange Council. He will go over fiscal policies matter and how it relates to the Alaska economy. So seeing no more business for this committee, we will be adjourned at 6:36 p.m.